We're joined now by Chris Mannix at Chris Mannix YS, senior writer for Yahoo, and he's on NBC Sports Radio, and he does a bunch of other stuff. Chris, thanks for doing this. How are you today?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Are you staying warm? You normally live in New York, right?
I do. This is, you know, it's cold in New York City. I mean, but this is next level cold that we got right now here in Toronto, for sure.
Have you bumped into any of the players? Have you talked to any of the guys?
Yeah, I was at the media avail. Just left it about 15 minutes ago, and had a chance to interview seven or eight of them at the vertical desk that we have there. So yeah, they've all been around, and this is one of those situations where they're all in good mood, so it's fun to talk to them there.
And did the weather come up at all?
No, the weather didn't come up. I mean, some of these guys have dealt with cold weather before. We got a chance to actually talk to Kyle Lowry, who lives it on a daily basis. But the weather didn't pop up.
All right, so let's talk about the Raptors first. I want to talk about the perception of this team, because Toronto seems to have a bit of a, on certain levels, an inferiority complex. And the reason that I say that is because, you know, you look at this Toronto Raptors team and the way it's currently constructed, and there's still those fans that don't believe in this team. And I know, look, Golden State's going for 73 wins. They're trying to break a record that the Bulls hold currently at 72. You've got the San Antonio Spurs, who, you know, they got crushed by, I think it was 30 against Golden State. You know that Cleveland got crushed by Golden State's on another stratosphere. Next level is San Antonio. The Cavs are in there as well. We got to mention OKC, of course, who are another great team. But where do the Raptors fit in? Give me the perception in terms of the U.S. and maybe what you think some of the players from other teams think and what the media looks at the Raptors as.
No, there shouldn't be any inferiority complex at all from Raptors fans. I mean, this team, you know, look, they're not on the elite level yet. I mean, I think that's fair to say. There's probably three teams, maybe four, if you include Oklahoma City, on that level. But the next level, they're right there amongst the top. They've got, you know, maybe the best young backcourt in the NBA, an elite backcourt, and in Lowry and DeRozan. You know, Valanciunas can be hit or miss at times, but he's one of the better big men at the center position in the league. You know, what they need are some guys at four, maybe three, to help off the bench to get to that next level. But this is a team on the rise, and when you have stability in their front office and coach's box, like they have with Masai Ujiri, who everyone across the NBA will tell you is an elite general manager, and Dwayne Casey, who I think is a very high-level head coach. You've got great things happening, you know, for the Raptors. They've got to make one more step. They've got to get one more player, maybe. But when they do, you know, they're going to be a real championship contender.
And as it stands right now, without an elite big man, and you said, you know, Valanciunas is a guy that's getting there. Okay, without an elite, and I will throw the Dwight Howard name, we know that Dwight Howard is being shopped around, but the Raptors have been linked to Kenneth Faried, Markieff Morris, PJ Tucker, Thaddeus Young, and there's a bunch of guys out there that are being shopped, and I don't know what Masai's kicking the tires on. He keeps things pretty close to the vest. In your mind, which one of these guys fits? Does Dwight Howard fit the Raptors, or is he just kind of a redundancy and a guy that comes in and causes too many problems to make it worth picking him up?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Dwight's a redundancy. I mean, he's probably better than Valanciunas, but you don't give up real assets to a guy that might only be marginally better than the player that you already have. A guy like Thaddeus Young would be fascinating for the Raptors. A guy like Danilo Gallinari, I think, would be fascinating for the Raptors, somebody that Masai is familiar with from his time with the Nuggets.
Yeah,
you've got to look at those sort of swing positions and look for upgrades there, 3-4, and see who's available. Now, you do want to be careful. I mean, it's kind of a cliche to say that the best trades are oftentimes the ones that are never made, but it's true in a lot of scenarios. I mean, I can tell you that there's a number of GMs who talk to me all the time about the trades they almost made and look back and say, what in God's name was I thinking at that moment? You don't want to get too desperate to improve in the short term. You've got to look at the long game here. And the long game for the Raptors is this dynamic young backcourt, is a young center who's getting better. Yeah, you've got to find a way to compete with Cleveland over the next 3 years with that group, but you want to build it kind of organically and not just rush to try to get that one player who you think is going to put you over the top at the expense of what you're trying to do. So you got to have a little bit of patience, I think. And I know that's tough for sports fans to do at times, but you really have to have it.
It is 1:48. I'm Joey Vendetta, and you're listening to Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. At Chris Mannix, YS, senior writer from Yahoo, The Vertical. You can hear him there. NBC Sports Radio, a very busy man. And, you know, fans, I had a couple of calls, Chris, and people calling in on whether they were going to participate this weekend, and a lot of them expressing their frustration in the prices and the ticket prices and how this is. Yeah. The NBA is a very celeb-driven, lifestyle-driven. You look at all the hip-hop influence, right? You look at, you know, talk about Toronto 20 years ago to now, considering how many great Canadian players they are. You look at Drake, of course, who is a guy that's an ambassador for the Raptors. But getting back to this Toronto team and DeMar DeRozan, look, there's talk of DeMar and the fact that he's a free agent and he's going to get a max contract somewhere. And one of the teams, you have Kobe, who's on his swan song here, and this is the last big event for Kobe because there's no chance they're making the playoffs. But DeMar DeRozan, is he elite? Is he top level? Is he just under top level and you got to pay him top level because it's Toronto and because someone else will? What do you see happening with DeMar? He doesn't want to leave. We know that. Masai loves him. We know that. Is there any chance that he ends up on a team like the Lakers, which is his hometown, as the guy to replace Kobe?
No. If he doesn't want to leave and Masai loves him, there's no chance he leaves. I mean, it's simple as that. Now, as long as that's not just lip service paid by either one of those men that I just mentioned, I mean, you've got to assume that he'll be back. I mean, look, it's going to be a gaudy number that comes out, $20 million plus $20-plus million dollars for this guy. I mean, it's going to be an enormous number, but that's just the going rate for players like that these days. They, you know, guys like Al Horford is going to get $25 million. A guy like Mike Conley is going to get $25 million. Owners and teams can't complain about these salaries because the fact is they're making money hand over fist, and they've got to find a way to retain him, because if you lose him, that changes the dynamic altogether.
Okay, your take on the way this All-Star game will unfold this week. And we know that All-Star games have no real bearing other than the Major League Baseball All-Star game, which determines home field advantage. The NBA All-Star game, as I said, it's a celeb fest. It's the hip-hop culture. There's all kinds of parties this week, and I don't know if you're aware or going to any of them, but everything from, you know, John Wall to Shaq to Snoop, everybody's in Toronto, and people from the warm weather climes are going, man, is it cold? But the NBA has turned this thing into a pretty massive event. And how do you think it's changed over the last 10 years or so? It was always, you know, slam dunk when Vince Carter came out. The slam dunk competition used to be the marquee event, and it's kind of the one we talk about almost the least now.
I mean, it's changed, no question. It's become bigger, I think, because of social media. The NBA, I think, as well as any sport out there, does social media extremely well. They're front and center on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They're everywhere, and they push those mediums pretty hard. But as far as the appeal, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I sometimes take the opposite approach that all these things are kind of pointless. I mean, the NBA has looked at eliminating the slam dunk competition in a lot of years. The All-Star game is just this kind of up and down pickup game. What I am looking forward to in this particular one, though, is that how many shots Kobe Bryant takes in this particular game, because I think just like Jordan almost a decade ago, you're going to see Kobe Bryant go for the All-Star MVP, and you're going to see his teammates try to get him the All-Star Game MVP. So yeah, that's probably the biggest appeal. That's why I think this game will do a great rating.